Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinette.
The Danger of Delaying Repentance by Thomas Boston, 1676 through 1732. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 6, verses 10 and 11. In this text, we have the sluggard's picture drawn in reference to his eternal concerns, which is the main thing here aimed at. He is one that puts off his great work from time to time. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. In the sixth verse, the slothful sinner is sent to school to learn a lesson of the ant, which though she has not the advantage that he has, yet has so much natural sagacity as to provide for winter in the time of summer and harvest, when meat is to be got. In the ninth verse, there is a rousing call to the sinner to follow that example. But behold, he entertains it. As a person that is loath to arise, he begs a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding of the hands to sleep. The point I intend to speak to from these words is the delaying and putting off of repentance work is a soul-ruining course among gospel hearers. In discoursing this doctrine, I shall show, A, why it is that gospel hearers delay and put off repentance, B, that this delaying is a soul-ruining course, C, lastly, make application, A. I shall show you why it is that gospel hearers delay and put off repentance. There is a generation that are not resolved never to repent, never to ply for salvation work, but only they are not for it yet. They hope to amend and reform themselves afterwards, but for the present they have no heart to it. So by cheating themselves out of their present time, they put a cheat on themselves forever. They are called by the word and by their own consciences to make ready for another world, to work out their salvation, but their hearts say, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and their practice is conformable. Why is it so? One, Satan has a great hand in this. If he cannot hold out the light altogether from disturbing them, he will do what he can to lull them asleep again, before they are fully wakened. Luke 11, verse 21. When a strong man's arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Thus he did with Felix, Acts 24, verse 25, who, as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." When the soul begins to think on making its escape, all the art of hell will be employed to hold it fast, and it is easier to get one to put off salvation work till afterwards than downright to refuse it altogether. And thus Satan is always on one of the two extremes, urging either that it is too soon or else that it is too long a doing. Two. The cares and business of the world contribute much to this. Hence our Lord explained the seed which fell among thorns to be those who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Luke 8, verse 14. How often are people in such an unsanctified throng of business that they cannot find a convenient season for putting their salvation work to a point? They have so many other cares upon their heads that they jostle out the care of their souls. They find themselves wrapped up in a cloud of cares, but think with themselves that were they but once through that, they shall ply their main work. Well, But they are no sooner out of that than they are into another. And so, till the work being put off from them time to time is quite neglected. The truth is, persons in such a case will hardly find a time for that work till they be resolute that they shall take it as they can find it. 3. The dominant, predominant love of carnal ease. Proverbs 26, verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. We are all naturally like Issachar, who saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tributes. Genesis 49, verse 15. Could people go sleeping to heaven on the sluggard's bed, would drowsy wishes carry them thither, many would be the passengers in that way. But that will not do. Men must labor, strive, and wrestle, and that is hard in the eyes of carnal men, and therefore, if it cannot be altogether refused, it is put off as long as may be. And hence never will a soul ply salvation work in earnest till it be effectually roused out of its lazy disposition. 4. The predominant love of sin. Why do persons stave off repentance? But because they are like those who, entertaining their friends whom they have no will to part with, do therefore put off their departure from day to day. The parting with sin is like the cutting off of a member of the body, Matthew 5, verse 30, which one will never yield to unless he be very resolute. No man will delay a minute to throw a burning coal out of his bosom, but they will love to keep a sweet morsel under the tongue. Who yet know that they must spit it out at length? And hence it is that no purpose of reformation, which is only for afterwards, can be sincere, because it argues a love to and loathness to part with sin. 5. A natural aversion and backwardness to holiness. Romans 8, verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The heart will never be reconciled to the yoke of Christ till grace make it so. Psalm 110, verse 3. But like as the bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, is loath to stoop to it, and therefore still draws aback, so will the heart of man do till overcoming grace reach it. Jeremiah 31, verse 18. Hence, when light is let into the mind, but the aversion still remains in the will, what can be expected but that the business of repentance, which they dare not absolutely refuse, will be delayed? 6. The hope of finding the work easier afterwards. The sluggard thinks with himself that a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding of the hands to sleep would make it easier to him to get out of his bed. Though on the contrary, the more and the longer persons delay the work of repentance, it is the harder to go through with it. For sin is a disease, which the longer it lasts, gathers the more strength, and is the harder to cure. And he that is not fit today to repent will be less fit tomorrow. 7. A large reckoning on the head of time that is to come. Hence the rich man reckoned, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But let us hear the judgment of God concerning this speech. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Luke 12, verses 19 and 20. God has given no man a tack of years, no, nor hours. Yet everybody is ready to tell what they will do tomorrow, next month, or next year. If young people think they have a great deal of time before their hand for repentance, The old people think they have enough time before them for that too. And in people's conceit, there is always enough till their time be quite gone and they be wakened out of their dream. Hopes of long life have ruined many souls. Oh, to be wise. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:13-14. But what folly is it to venture eternity on such uncertainty? 8. A fond conceit of the easiness of the salvation work. There is a generation that pleases themselves with the thought that it is but to believe and repent, and that is soon done. What persons can do with a touch of their hand, they think they need to be in no haste with. But oh, how contrary is this to the whole strain of Scripture and the saints' experience. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it. Matthew 7:14. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Luke 13:24. The apostle speaks of the exceeding greatness of God's power toward them who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1:19-20. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:18. Did men believe this, that there is such a difficulty in getting to heaven, they would not dare delay for a minute entering on the way. 9. A conceit of sufficient ability in ourselves to turn ourselves from sin unto God. That the doctrine advancing the power of natural reason and ability in spiritual things does take so much with the world is no wonder, since man naturally is such a stranger to his own spiritual impotency. Hence, it is observed that the first question when the awakened is, what shall I do to be saved? It is worth observing how the carnal heart turns itself into different shapes to retain its sinful lusts. Sometimes the man says that he is not able to do any good, but when his sin cannot find shelter under this covert, but he is pursued hot with conviction, he puts off his reformation to another time, thereby in effect declaring that he can do it if he had but a season for it. He that is to use his oars may row at what hour he pleases, but he that must sail by the help of the wind must set off while it blows, because he cannot command it. B. I shall show you that this delaying is a soul-ruining course. This is evident if you consider. 1. It is directly opposite to the gospel call, which is for today, not for tomorrow. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:7-8. All the calls of the gospel require present compliance and do not allow sinners to put off till another day. It is true, salvation work must be deliberate work, but you are not allowed a time to deliberate whether you will come to Christ and be holy or no. It is like the call to quench fire in a house that must presently be done, yet done deliberately so as the work be not marred in the making. How then can it be but a soul-ruining course? 2. It is threatened with ruin. The text is very express. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And one with 1,000 times more safety might venture on a sword point than the edge of such a divine threatening. See Proverbs 23, verse 21, and Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. All this threatening has been accomplished in many whom their slothful delays have caused to perish, as in the case of Ephraim, Hosea 13, verse 13, and Felix, Acts 24, verse 25. Many have been not far from the kingdom of God who yet never came to it. 3. Whenever grace touches the heart, men see that it is so. Hence the psalmist, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 60. When men are in earnest to get into Christ by faith and to get back to God by repentance, they dare linger no more in the state of wrath. They flee out of it as one fleeing for his life. Matthew 3, verse 7. Their eyes are open to see their danger, and therefore they are presently determined. 4. It has a native tendency to soul ruin, which inevitably overtakes them. If they do not at length break off all delays and come away, this is evident if you consider, first, the state of sin is a state of wrath, where ruin must needs compass a man about on every hand. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, verse 36. To have stayed in Sodom that day, it was to be burnt, was dangerous, but to abide a moment in the state of wrath is far more dangerous. Who would venture into a house that is about to fall? Who would not presently leave it? And will men venture? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, Proverbs 24, verse 33, in a state of enmity with God? Surely such persons know not God's greatness, nor the worth of their own souls. Secondly, the longer you continue in sin, your spiritual death advances the more upon you. Every sin sets you a step farther from God, is a new bar in the way of your peace with him, strengthens your natural enmity against him, and alienates you more from the life of God. And where can this natively end but in your soul's ruin? Ah, are we not far enough on in that way already? Why delay more, that we may yet go further off from God? Thirdly, while you remain in this state, there is but a step betwixt you and death, which you may be carried over by a delay of ever so short a time. All that is your security in this case, so far as you can see, is the brittle thread of your life, which may be broken at a touch, and then you are ruined without remedy. So that every delay, shorter or longer, for repentance, is a venturing of eternity on that uncertain life of yours, which in a moment may be taken from you. C. Application. Let's see. 1. That delayers of repentance are self-destroyers, self-murderers. A. Well may be it said to such, why will you die? Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Should a man willfully neglect a remedy for his disease, which puts him in hazard of his life? He could not be guiltless of his own death, more than one being called to rise and quench the fire in house, and yet would lie still till it were consumed to ashes, would be blameless of its ruin. Self-love, that is, love of sinful self, is the source of the greatest cruelty, whereby lusts are spared to the destruction of the life of the soul. B. By delays, the interest of hell is advanced, where many are this day who had resolved to repent, but death did not wait their time, and so they were disappointed. No wonder new grounds of delay be still laid to persons' hands, for it is Satan's great drift to get men entangled in the wilderness, that they may not make forward to Canaan's land, and every new entanglement sets the soul a step nearer to destruction. And who questions but Satan has art enough to coin new pretenses for delays? C. No wonder Satan is most busy to ply the engine of delays when a sinner is somewhat awakened by conviction, as he did with Felix, Acts 24, verse 25. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and delays will blunt the edge of convictions as much as a peremptory refusal. Under convictions at a sermon or on a sickbed, the sinner is awakened out of his sleep, but then nothing can serve Satan's purpose better than yet a little sleep, which if they get, they sleep off the edge of convictions. D. They are sinners' best friends that give them least rest in a sinful course. And whatever men think of them now, they will think so afterwards. Proverbs 5, verses 11 through 13. Everybody loves ease, and therefore faithful preaching and dealing with souls is a torment to those who love to be undisturbed in their rest in sin. Revelation 11, verse 10. But what suits best with our sinful inclinations is worst for our souls and will in the end be found so. Flattery has ruined many when plain dealing and fair warning has brought many out of the snare.